Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the center of the universe. It's a special night. Of course, on Monday nights, we have Dr. Steve Johnston that joins us. And usually we're on 11 o'clock on weekends, but make special accommodations for a special person. And he is joining us in the studio. If you'd like to call in tonight for questions, I'm sure there's nothing he cannot answer. The phone number to call in is 347-637-1980. That's 347-637-1980. And let's go to Blue Chef first. Blue Chef, thanks for joining us tonight. You got a quote of the day?
Yes, I do.
All right.
The quote of the day is from Eckhart Tolle. Life will give you whatever experience is the most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. Once again, that's Eckhart Tolle. He does a lot of stuff about, stilling the mind and really stopping to think, one by one about your experiences, and not let the mind run wild with the confusion of daily life. And anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say for the introductory. Back to you.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you for the quote of the day. That quote of the day is sponsored by iHall of Tulsa. Their website's iHallUSA.com. And if you guys will go to, if you're listening live, or even if you're archiving the show, and thank you so much for the positive comments out in the public I've heard for both myself and Blue Shift, and also ran into several people that are excited to have Dr. Steve on the show each week and have already got us thinking differently about and practicing deep breathing. That has been such a great conversation starter for me this week, sir, with strangers. But that's great information to share with them. A lot of shallow breathers out there, Doctor.
That I know.
Okay, I'm on the website right now for people to listen. If you go to drstevejohnston.bpweb.com, I'll spell it out, drstevejohnston, period, bpweb.com. If you go to the page, you can see the experience and all that Dr. Steve can help us with for body, full body detox, personalized safe weight loss programs, integrative healing.
All right, for the next hour. Okay.
Also, electronic acupuncture, energy therapy, right frequency therapy for the mind, creative visualization, stress reduction, relaxed therapy. That's just a few in that area, in the spirit, life energy focus, energy balancing, nutritional counseling. What don't you do, Dr. Steve? That is so awesome what you bring to the table. With all those choices tonight, what would you like to talk about and for me to ask you questions about tonight? It's all very interesting, all very helpful. Total library.
Well, we could start off with flu vaccines.
Okay.
If anybody's thinking about getting flu vaccines, don't. The next big hype that's coming on flu vaccines is that they prevent heart attacks. And that's a great way to sell flu vaccines. There was a study done by Klein Glasgow on their own product. And they took 500 and some odd patients, a lot of which had heart trouble. And they had their flu shots. And a percentage of them died, but 19% didn't. If anybody really would like to know what they're being injected with, go look up the ingredients on vaccines, period. And then ask yourself this question. Why were we born with an immune system? And if modern medicines worked, why are there sick people? Why don't people just die of old age? Why are there sick people, and people are getting sicker every day, and ask yourself that question and do some research on vaccines. Hopefully somebody
okay.
has some questions.
Yeah, I'll help you with some questions. I was just sitting here thinking today, you mentioned that, and there was a lady today that was on the news, and she, I don't know if she's in arguments with the city or the school system, wouldn't let her child go to school because it was mandatory for her to have a certain vaccine, and she said, by God, it's not going to happen, and took her kid home. Do they
Good
have
for
legal
her.
Rights not to do that?
Yes, and the school has to provide it. There's a form that the school has to provide that gives religious exemptions from vaccinations. That school has to do that. They have the form. It's probably, I think it's down at the bottom of the form where it says religious exemptions. And fill it out, and it's done. There are certain religious sects who have taken these things to court. For instance, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, and several others have taken this to court, and they will not allow the filth to be put into their bodies. The Muslims are the same. They will not allow filth to be put into their bodies. It's 90% of the American public who are like sheep that are led to get stuff put into their bodies. But
okay.
that exemption does exist. The school has to provide the form.
Uh-huh.
And it's religious exemption.
Okay. All right. So the common practice always is for people that's just, we're sheep in a lot of areas. That's what you're supposed to go do for your kids. How's a better way to prepare your kids going into the winter months when everybody else is going to have colds and flus?
Of course. We're all born
yeah.
with an immune system. And if we keep our bodies healthy, our immune system is there to protect us. Just think in times past, there have been millions and millions upon people, kids who have gotten measles, mumps, and so on and so forth, and have given natural resistance to them without supplying the pharmaceutical companies with the profits that they make. Not only that, there are no side effects. And the death rate and the illness rate after getting these vaccinations is horrible. How many
mm-hmm.
kids, you know, just look at autism. The United States keeps saying, oh, autism has nothing to do with the DPT vaccination or the rubella vaccination. But Italy and France came up with studies that say it's a direct relationship. That's why years ago autism... you may have found one in several thousand. Now it's one in 80.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a definite correlation between forced vaccination and disease. It's like the polio vaccines of the 40s, or the 60s, rather, where it's already been linked to brain tumors later on in life.
Uh-huh.
Vaccines are not as safe as they say they are. And if people would do research, you have the ability, if you have a computer, you can do the research. Go find
mm-hmm.
out what they're putting in the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, would you want that in your body? It's like the
right.
flu vaccine using thimerosal. Thimerosal is derivative of mercury. Do you want mercury floating around in your brain? What does that cause? Alzheimer's?
No,
yeah.
I probably do.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably due. Trying to
and
figure
cold.
Out. Is there a way, I mean, is one thing you can do is you can get tested. Can you go get tested to see what kind of chemicals are in your body right now?
Of course.
What do you ask the doctor to do?
As far as the medical field, they can do that, but it's easier. You can get a hair analysis done. And if anybody would
okay.
like a hair analysis done, contact me. They run about $160, and
uh-huh.
they're very, very accurate. That's
when
they found out.
I was going to say, I've heard people talk about wondering if they've got fluoride, or we've talked about how they're altering food and everything. And the best way to go get that tested, even for fluoride, if you think you may have fluoride, is to do a hair analysis?
Yes. That's
okay.
How they found out Napoleon died from arsenic poisoning. They did a hair analysis on Napoleon's hair, and they found out that he died of arsenic poisoning. But, yeah, hair is a very good barometer as to what's going on inside you.
Okay.
As far as chemicals, it all ends up in the hair. And the new hair growth at the back of the neck is probably the best, because it shows what's going on now. If you took hair from further out as it grows, that's what has gone on before. Very good barometer. Like I said, it costs about $160, and it will tell you also what your body's deficient in, and what heavy metals or toxic metals that might be in your body.
Hmm. And then, I know your type of practice, and if you go to some, because I've had a family doctor for years. If I went in and showed him my hair analysis, I'm not going to get the same response back from him like I would from you, correct?
You may. It depends upon your medical doctor. Some are open to, if they see something in black and white and are attuned to reality of healing, then, they might make a positive statement about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the analysis is very, very, it's black and white. It's printed out. You can read it. It's done by computer, and the analysis is generally 100% correct.
I think that'd be interesting. I've never had, the only time that I've had, hair analysis before, of course, I didn't see the report, was just trying to hire me for a job when I was younger to see if I'd used any alcohol or drugs. But I didn't think to get a full, and you said you can get a hair analysis for how much, $160?
Yes.
Man,
and
I think that's
like
fantastic.
I said, if anybody wants one, contact me and we can get it started.
Wow. I think I would probably start there just because of curiosity. Because so many people said, well, especially the more and more, it's probably a good idea to do it once a year maybe?
I would, considering what's in our food, what is in our water supplies. Yes, I would.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, last week we touched on fluoride, and I'm going to touch on this subject again. Last week we touched on fluoride. If there are any community organizers out there who are interested in their community's health, you might want to contact your local water supply, your city, and have them take the fluoride out of the water. It is a hazardous waste. It is listed on the EPA as a deadly hazardous waste. It's poison.
I tell you what, between now, and the next 30 days for the show and for myself, I want to book an appointment with you, and I'm going to come down there and do a hair analysis. Then I'm going to get that back, and then we're going to go through it. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Excellent.
Yeah,
I look forward to it.
Me too. The best way I know to do things is just put myself through it and go through it, because I'm sure there are a lot of people like myself that have never done what we're going to do. I'm totally open to alternative medicine. And that's the way I want to go. And, of course, I don't have a lot of experience in that, and that's why we have you on the show to help us out. I guess to break it down, the best way to explain it is, I'm going to probably ask a few stupid questions, but
there's
the best
no
way,
such thing as a stupid question.
I understand.
That's how you learn.
But I really, they probably are going to sound pretty, how many times have you answered this, but what's your best way to describe, what is alternative medicine?
Okay, I'll describe alternative medicine. It's when you go to a hospital. That's alternative medicine. That's a complete switch on what you're thinking about. because traditional medicine has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It is what has been used by the population for many thousands of years. But in today's language, I will readdress what you're terming alternative medicine. It is taking what was put on this earth that is natural, what the body can assimilate and use, and it will help to affect a cure in the body. It allows the body to heal itself the way it was meant to. Conventional medicine has only been around for just over 100 years. Just over 100 years. And people are just getting sicker and sicker and sicker. It doesn't work. Did I tell you last week how the AMA started, the American Medical Association?
I don't think we covered that. If we did, I'd love to hear it again.
All right. Many years ago, when there was no American Medical Association, there were two gentlemen. One, I don't remember his name. He just got out of prison for fraud. The other one, his name was Morris Fishbane. Now, Fishbane, if he was around today, should be hung. But anyhow, they got a nice small office together, probably a 10 by 10 small office, desks, and a couple of pieces of paper, and they got a label and a certificate. Then they went around to the burgeoning, the growing pharmaceutical companies that were growing at the time, and they said, hey, we don't do any testing, we don't do anything, we issue certificates, but look, it's impressive. If you give us X number of dollars, we'll put a certificate and approved by the AMA right on the label. And you can sell your products because people will start believing it. So anyhow, Morris Fishbane and the other gentleman made a whole lot of money. And when people were actually affecting cures naturally in other people, these two went after them. Well, Morris Fishbane eventually got in charge of the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which had just started, and he used the clout of his position to go after people who were actually affecting cures, like Royal Rife Jr., who is in Dr. Hoxsey, who were curing cancer. You know, patients would come in 30 days later, they'd be cancer-free. They'd be gone, and he'd chase them out of the country. He'd prosecute them if they didn't give him a percentage of their profits. And I'm just going to let you in on this tidbit, too. In the 1920s and 30s, there was a group of scientists, naturalists, who put together a compound for people who wanted to quit smoking. And one injection, it was gone. It detoxified every cell in the body, and there was no side effects from it, and there was no desire to smoke cigarettes or any other form of tobacco. They got chased out of the country, too, because of profit. The AMA and the FDA are set up as profit centers. They are the arm of the pharmaceutical companies. That's how NutraSweet got approved. And I think we covered that last week. So that is the history of the American Medical Association, and it has grown into a massive lobby group with a massive amount of money behind them. And, you know, that's how cancer therapies got it to where they are. You cannot be cured of cancer in this country. And that's a bold statement. You cannot be cured of cancer in this country.
Because
you cannot. If people are getting cured of cancer, the government will come down and throw you in jail. If you're helping people cure themselves of cancer. And that's why, you know, I'm going to make another statement. There is no drug. There is no drug, no doctor, no herb on the face of this planet that can cure anything. What a good doctor will do is cause the patient to affect a cure in themselves the way the body was meant to do. That's why we have an immune system. The body works together. That's why it's called holistic medicine. It works
right.
The whole body. It's not individual components. The whole body works together. One
mm-hmm.
thing feeds into another. That's why we have different systems in our bodies that work together. And so a good doctor will work with the entire body to help the body affect a cure.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, what for like within the last like week or so, I mean, you probably had a lot of first-time patients. Their first-timers coming in there, what's the first thing they want to ask or talk to you about, or what has brought them to you, what's the main thing that they're fighting? Is it weight, or is it cancer, is it blood pressure? What's your main request right now?
All of the above. There's a whole preponderance. You name something, it's passed through my doors, including leprosy.
Wow.
In the years that I've practiced, I've seen just about everything. And lately, there's a lot of people with blood pressure problems, stress problems, diabetes, which is so avoidable and treatable, and so stress, blood pressure. I treat blood pressure and diabetes the same way. Because one affects the other generally.
You know, you said that, and my dad has diabetes, and I know you got to have, and he's doing a lot better about doing test his blood sugar and everything. But it's so, you know, you got to have the right, you got to have proteins, carbohydrates, you got to eat frequently. I mean, there's a lot of maintenance and stuff, and I keep telling
you. Of course,
you know,
there is. It's all in
next
diet.
Next stop, and I mean, He's looking at a dialysis machine, and I'm trying fighting everything to keep him from getting
to that. Yeah, once he gets
on
the dialysis, yeah, he's going to go downhill. And, you know, if it was me that had diabetes, I would not listen to a thing that the American Diabetic Association told me to do. I would not pay attention to their diets, which are, to me, totally backwards. And, you know, there's a way to help a person with diabetes overcome that. Now, taking insulin is decreasing the pancreas's ability to do what it needs to do. So if somebody's mm-hmm. been a long-term diabetic on insulin, it makes it harder. Because when you replace what the body naturally puts out, you reduce the organ's ability to put that to function. So you're, in essence, decreasing the pancreas as far as diabetes goes. Pancreas won't function the way that it should, and you have to help to restart it. Same with thyroid, same with anything that you are replacing. And anytime you're replacing something, the body gets weaker and weaker. And the pharmaceutical companies get richer and richer.
Well, I've seen him before and come by to check on him, and he'll just be out of it and dizzy and everything. And I'll just look at his blood tests and check him out. And then we'll check his blood pressure medicine. And they've changed the blood pressure medicine on him. The dosages and thing. And then you think he's doing a diet correctly, and then that blood pressure medicine's got him all spun out and everything.
When you come to see me, remind me to give you an eating program for your dad. I'll be more than happy to.
Okay. You know, but it seems like the hardest. Now, how can, you know, by gosh, you know, how do you keep somebody? And, of course, they want to do it. It's just like the alcoholic. If they want to quit drinking, it's got to be their idea. But Is there steps to just, it just seems like, and I understand it, I love to eat, who doesn't, you know, and I've started to diet myself and try to lose some weight recently, but, I mean, what are other things that you can do to try to keep them eating correctly? I mean, is it the way you present the food, I mean, I've got to get his mindset more positive to wanting to, you know, I'm trying to keep him off dialysis. And I mean, my mom does everything to cook and do the right things, and then I'll come visit, and all of a sudden he's eating, I think, too much bread, and then I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, you know? I don't know what he's supposed to be eating.
Well, he shouldn't be eating bread because that immediately turns to sugar. He
yeah,
shouldn't be eating rice because that immediately turns to sugar. And he shouldn't be using artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, and I'm pretty
he
sure
be
he's
using
doing
sugar.
All this.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, because that's what's recommended by the American Diabetic Association. Like I said, I don't agree at all with their menus, the way they're eating, and the sugar-free stuff is nothing but poison. Blood pressure medicines, you know, they serve a function, but in the long run, they also start bringing on different stages of Alzheimer's, too. There's so many side effects.
Yeah.
One day I went online to look up the side effects of one of the medications for blood pressure, and they're, you know,
right.
they list about a couple of dozen on their pamphlets, and you look online, and there's close to 300
yeah.
different side effects.
Yeah.
And people just get side effects. People are coerced into getting the medications.
Right.
They are, you know, if you don't take this, you're going to die. If you don't take that, blah, blah, blah. Well, health is very simple. Health is very, very simple. And I'm not going to bring religion in this, but there's a quote in the Christian Bible, Genesis 1:29, I believe. It tells us what humans were supposed to eat. It's right there. It's
mm-hmm.
very simple. You don't have to do the Rachel Ray stuff, you know, the combined cooking, or, you know, Bobby Flay, all these famous chefs and cooks.
Right.
People have learned, have become so used to eating for one sensory organ, their tongue, rather than think of what they're doing to their bodies. And people have become so accustomed to eating for convenience, they don't read what they're putting in their bodies. You got to read labels. Become educated. You live in your bodies 24/7. That
mm-hmm.
is your body. And you probably know more about your automobile than you do your own body. You live
mm-hmm.
in your body. You mm-hmm. take better care of your car than you do your bodies. That's what
mm-hmm.
this country has become. It's become a country of convenience, not watching their health, and they've been so inundated by commercials and doctor shows and all of this stuff. Yeah, I know a lot of doctors, and I respect medical doctors a lot. Their hands are tied, and they're going to get tied even more when it comes to this Health Care Act going through. Because their treatments are going to
yeah.
be dictated by government bureaucracies. Don't
I was
get me
gonna say,
started on
you know,
that one.
You don't want to get started on that?
Oh, no, this will turn into a political show.
Yeah, we don't want to do that tonight.
No, we don't want to do that at all. Yes, I do.
We sure could. I mean, my God. Let me ask you this, Doctor. Dr. Steve. You know, I've given all your information out. And there'll probably be some people that live on the other side of the state and can't get to you or want to get to you. If somebody that wants to come see you and for some reason they can't drive, or they live on the other part of the state, or they're in another state, is this state, this show is national. What type of education?
I have patients in Japan, okay?
Wow.
Now that's on the other side of the world.
Okay.
As long
right.
as there are several things. There's a thing called a telephone. There's
yeah.
email. There's FedEx and UPS.
Okay.
And that's how I don't have to see a patient.
You don't?
There are questions that I ask. Somebody tells me what's wrong with them, and I will ask a whole series of questions. And if they deal straight up with me, then we can start there.
Okay.
I prefer having people in front of me. Most definitely,
right.
That makes it a lot easier, and I'd like to establish a rapport with my patients.
Uh-huh.
And that I really enjoy, because I do enjoy my patients. And my philosophy is I don't want a patient to be a patient forever. I want my patients to become my friends.
Right.
And that happens when their body cures itself.
Okay.
So no matter where people are, I can deal, you know, whether it's counseling, whether it is giving advice or where they could go, what they could do in their own homes, or if they wanted treatment from me, I can deal with those. I'm a master herbalist.
The best way to reach you is to go to the website and request a time to talk, or just call you, or what's the best way you like to for somebody to reach out? Just a call or emails or both? Or
I can be called, but I prefer getting an email, and I'm going to give you my email, not off of my
Great.
Website. I'm going to give you my direct email, which
Perfect.
Is abbreviated Dr. Dr. Steve, Steve, Johnston, Johnston, at yahoo.com.
Uh-huh.
So it's
okay.
Dr. Steve Johnston at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Dr. Steve, we might have a caller here. Let me check it out.
All right.
And they went away. Okay, anyway. Well, okay, well, for right now, I think what I'm going to do is get set up. And when I come down to do the hair analysis, how long does it take for the information to come back? Or is
about
that something
a week and
I
a
can
half.
Do? Is that something I can do from here, is to pick a hair off the back of my neck and send it to you? Or do I need to come down there for that also and just send you some money?
You can send me some hair and some money. That would be fine.
Well, I was going to say,
the amount
no
of
reason.
Hair
I'm
is about
like
a gram of hair. Yeah, about a gram of hair from the nape of your neck, from the base of your skull, just like the little shelf that's back there, the medulla, right below that is where you get the hair, about a gram of hair.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And put it in a little,
this week. Okay.
Put it in a little plastic bag. Put it in a little plastic bag so it doesn't get contaminated. Send the money and... In about a week and a half after I get it, the analysis will be done.
That's going to be great. Okay, we're going to start with me doing that. I'm looking forward
All
to
right.
doing that. Let me ask you this, because I've heard a lot of people, you know, talk about, I don't know, in different circles, and a lot of people are into ancestry. Is that something that we should spend time with, other than just historic, is to find out the history of our family when it comes to our bodies and medicine?
Oh, yeah. There's two things as far as genetics and ancestry. One is genetic, your genetics. And that's one thing. And that is a very new field as far as pinpointing genetics. A lot of things... Then the other side of that is environmental heredity, which is what I'm more interested in. What your great-grandparents did, your grandparents did. What your grandparents did, your parents did. And so the problems that have been part of your family for years could have started many years ago, many generations, and just passed down through cooking, through lifestyle, and so on
right.
and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are faulty genes that can be passed down, like Tay-Sachs and sickle cell and so on. Yes, there are genetic defects. But when I look at something, I look at environmental heredity. Then I also look at the environment that you grew up in, whether it be were you around any industry, any chemicals, you know, what kind of environment did you grow up in? I look at those things, and I also ask, you know, what did your parents grow up in? Because these things, you grow up in that same environment, and That's where I look, because that affects you more than what your great-grandparents' genes have done, you know, with few exceptions. With few exceptions, you inherit your eye color, hair color, so on and so forth. And, yes, you can inherit recessive genes. I look at today. So it's always good to research your ancestry. You don't know what you'll find.
Yeah. You know, I know there's two or three sites up there that that you can send in to do DNA testing also. Do you recommend that? Or?
Heck yeah. See if you're related to somebody famous.
See if they got any money, right? It always comes back to money.
No, there's one that I, you know, what did I just see that? Ancestry.com. They offer DNA testing. And
that's probably the best
one to
go with, probably, right? Because they have the credentials with Ancestry, and they've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah, and they're not expensive. I think it's $99, and you send in a vial of your saliva. And,
well, here's my thinking. Here's my thinking, Dr. Steve. I'm thinking about going back, getting with my parents. My mom's been doing a lot of, spending a lot of time with Ancestry. Go back about, what, three or four generations?
Yes.
At least? Okay.
At least.
I'll go back, have her get some information. Then I'm also going to go, and I guess I'll also send off for a DNA test, and then get all that back and send it your way, and we'll just freaking break me down and see what's going on with this guy.
That sounds good. That
I mean,
sounds
good. What better way... No better to show people what we do than just doing it, right? I know I'm curious.
Exactly.
And we may find somebody in the family's got a ton of money.
Or maybe they're related to.
I'll split it with you because I said, hey, my doctor can prove it, by God. I'm coming back with, I want some money back today. Okay, I'm going to switch gears on you. And I'm going to do some, I'm going to do follow up, and I'm going to pull some back in the book. I've been pulling hair off the back of my neck anyway out of frustration. I should have put some in a plastic bag. But one thing that I really want you to know about my history is that I don't know if you know, this is something I do at night and three or four times a week, and I have a blast doing it. You know, for the last few years, I've had my own hauling company. It's iHaul of Tulsa, iHaulUSA.com, iHaul of Tulsa. There's my plug for what I do. But nobody knows my history. My family doctor I had for years and years is gone. And I just picked up somebody when I had insurance. I couldn't even tell you who my family doctor is. What I'm getting at, Dr. Steve, is that I clean out houses, different houses all the time.
Yes.
I have a junk removal company. We do foreclosures, rental property clean outs. And if you've ever been in rental property, and you may even own some, you know what can be in there. We're in
of
barns.
Course.
I'm around deadly stuff a lot of time. Paint, critters, spiders, snakes, whatever. And
black mold.
I could have something that come up on me, and if I don't have, I'm being totally honest, I mean, I don't know what we'll find the next house we go into. I don't know if we run across maybe some lye. There could be a former meth house. I know for sure sometimes me and the guys that work for me should be wearing some type of apparatus or, you know, for breathing. A lot of times we don't. We just, we don't work fast. We look around, but we're going to somebody's sanctuary, you know, at their. We don't know what's in there, and we have to be confident. You know, there could be syringes that are open, you know, when we're trying to get rid of some of the refuse in there. And I really feel if I don't get a firm relationship, and going to start a firm relationship with you, doctor, because if I come in with something and you have no history, or a doctor doesn't have any history with all that goes on with me, I would probably be hard to diagnose.
Well, it would. It's good to know your history. And, you know, it's also good to know what you've run into. Because in some cases, let's say you run into black mold. That can take you down in a half hour.
It can?
Yes, it can. I'm speaking from voice of experience. You know, you talk about rent houses. We had a house that we went into. The people just left. There was probably $20,000, $30,000 in clothing still there, rotting, molding. It was a disgusting, disgusting place. And in a half hour, I was down because of black mold. And this stuff can be wicked. And, you know, it's easy to treat once you know what's going on.
Okay.
But,
okay. What's the best way to handle the black mold? Because we are around that quite a bit. We think sure should have something over our face, but I mean, do we need to?
Yes, it is. You should always do. And gloves.
Yeah. I mean, just take those safety precautions. You're fine, but you just don't need to walk around with anything. It can put you on your knees in 30 minutes, huh?
Yes, it could. Yes, it could.
Wow.
It did me, and it took me down for. It took me down for a good week.
Really?
How did you treat
yourself for that?
I had to make up specific formulas that deal with black mold. So in the middle of being sick, I was making stuff that would eliminate the symptoms and the problem itself. So it was, you know, it was doubly hard for me because I do all my own lab work. I do you know, I'm a master herbalist, and so I do patient-specific formulations, and on black mold, I had to adapt that for my own physiology. So,
wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's perfect for exactly what I need. Okay, I'm going to yank some hair out the next day or two, send it your way. Okay. We got about 12, 13 minutes here. You know,
right.
I want to talk about Comet Ison. I saw some pictures today, Dr. Steve. It is headed towards Mars right now. It's supposed to go towards the sun in the next day or two. Have you seen pictures yet?
I've seen pictures.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we should be looking for as far as the comet disrupting anything around us now?
No, the comet should not be disruptive of anything. And like I alluded to last week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the comet interrupting anything. NASA's thinking about smashing an asteroid into the moon just for the heck of it. I don't know where these people come up with their harebrained ideas, but as far as the comet, no, I don't look for anything that the comet will do. The comet is a herald. It is a messenger of what is coming. That's why this Earth has had so many visitors from elsewhere. The universe is full of visitors. And all of these things that are happening now started probably 20 years ago with what was known as the Flaming Sword Alignment. And the Flaming Sword Alignment was the start of everything that is coming. And if you follow the alignments and follow the progression of what is happening in the universe, in our solar system, you would understand why. And this happens every 3,600 years. Climate change happens every 3,600 years. The Earth changes every 3,600 years. Comet comes around always every 3,600 years. It is the forerunner of what is coming. This comet has been mentioned in ancient texts. And it is the, you know, if you look at our calendar, our calendar is off by about 5 years because Pope Gregory was off by 5 years when he made up the Gregorian calendar. But it just follows suit. We're now in the age of the Aquarian age. That's shifted. The planet that is supposed to be here every 3,600 years is coming. And if you could look at the sun at sunrise, directly under the sun, you will see a black spot. and that is a planet.
Mm-hmm.
I do this just about every morning because at my office I can look out the window and watch sunrise, which I do every time I'm in my office. I greet the sun every morning, and you can look very carefully and see that.
And you think it could be planet X? And you think it could be planet X? Nibiru. Yeah. Wow.
I was listening to somebody talk last night, and they said a few months ago there was a red or brown dwarf planet, or what they called, and it had four or five moons surrounding it, and an amateur astronomer had found it and posted the information, and they said within a few hours that Google Sky had gone in, had blacked it out, and you could no longer see it. And this was a few years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what I'm getting at is, I mean, are they ever going to come out with this information other than, talk shows like ourselves are going to come out and mention this planet? Or I'm sure they have an agenda, because eventually a lot of people are going to say, hey, what's the deal? Or do you think they'll make the announcement at all? And should they?
I doubt seriously if they would make the announcement. Number one, if people started to do research on it, they'd realize that, what would happen? It would change the course of life. You know, it would wreck a lot of religions, for one thing. If people actually went back and started to do research, it would destroy religions. It would throw people into a panic. I lost my whole train of thought because this is one subject
that I really enjoy. Huh?
I enjoy this subject because of firsthand experience. This planet is coming. This planet comes every 3,600 years. Why would the Vatican appoint an ambassador to this planet and to so-called extraterrestrials? Why would the United Nations open up a whole section to greet extraterrestrials? Why would the FAA give courses on the people, on the visitors that are here now, on the species that are here? They know it. They know it's coming, but will they release it? No. It would cause panic. I think people deserve to know the truth.
Yeah, right. And it's coming.
The truth is it's coming. And the moons surrounding it are with it. Those are what's, you know, the planet itself has a total, it's got the same orbit it's had for years, eons. And, you know, albeit it's a dead planet, but it also carries with it a whole host of moons. And
maybe
like
four or five.
Said,
like, yeah.
And like I said last week.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Like I said last week, one of the moons collided with the Earth years, you know, many millennia ago. And that's why we have the shape that we have now. But it's coming. We have many visitors to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, if you can remember, ask me about some of my own experiences with the visitors. And
I will definitely will.
Very, very interesting. And I know we have a few minutes left. And
go right ahead.
You know, what is out in the universe? It's a marvelous place, and we are all connected one way or another. Energy is infinite. It just keeps going. And vibrations, and we are all connected regardless of the species. Now, there are some species that I would really not want to come in contact with. Argons, reptoids, especially reptoids. But the Argons or the ankle biters, as they're referred to sometimes, Those are two that I really would not want to come in contact with. So I'm going to end my thing with in a language that nobody's probably ever heard of. So I'm going to end this with a very short sentence. Salud. Asris, Siris, Dulu, Patnitu, Tankwa, Kanpa. Asris, Siris, Dulu. That was ancient Sumerian, the very first language of the planet.
And that was
and
Steve Johnson.
Yes.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't know if you were finished or.
Yeah, I'm finished. I'd like to say goodnight to one of my. I want to say goodnight to one of my sons, Ian Andrew Matthew John. Ian Andrew Matthew Johnston. Good night, and to all the listeners
out
there.
Appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you next Monday. I'll pull some hair off the back of my neck and send it your way along with the $160. Appreciate your time. Thanks for
Thank
taking
you.
Time.
Good night.
Have a good night, Dr. Steve.
Good night and good night to everybody. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Blue Shift, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Wow. He was, did you hear how he left the show this evening?
Yes, I did.
Sumerian?
I heard and
you can't translate that, can you?
I can't, no. but I'll tell you one thing for sure is I got up out of my chair.
That's gotta be a first in Oklahoma, somebody signing off in Sumerian conversation, I would think.
Well, it is. For, you know, duh and or hello, you know, but,
I wasn't expecting that. That was kind of like my, that was freaking awesome. I'm sorry, Dr. Steve, but I get excited every once in a while, but, haven't heard Sumerian before, and I know it's a first for a lot of people, but, he cannot wait next week to talk about the visitors. And once again with the ankle biters, what is going on with that deal?
Yeah, no, ankle biters, I was, one of my, you know, I went to go see one of my friends, actually. You know, like I said, it was a friend, we came on much earlier in the show. When I went over there and I started trying to tell him what I thought was going on, Let me tell you, ankle biter, that's what I was actually saying to him. I was like, man, you know, I got some sort of interdimensional ankle biter. You know, it's going after my ankle for some reason, you know.
I've got bites all around my ankles right now.
Well, not like a physical bite, you know, just something like your ankle.
Oh, good. They haven't gotten to me yet. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd probably notice it. If you had one around, you'd notice it because, like, you're, like, constantly picking up your foot, wondering, well, am I stepping on something that's making my ankle hurt? Am I, standing on it wrong or sitting down on it wrong or something? And in your ankle area, it's not – it's more of like an energetic thing, I think. But
they're reptilian. They're reptilian, what it said, right?
And then he said also reptilians. I think he's mentioning two different things, but I don't think reptilian is a good description. I think we have to, you know, being in English-speaking language, we have to be more specific.
Yeah, he mentioned two different types, though.
Yeah, he said archons.
I
think that's what he said, which is
archons? I've heard you mention them before. What do you know about them?
Archons, they're the macro, the artificial intelligence. And then he said reptoid, not reptilian.
Right.
You know,
right.
Well, our leaders are reptilians, and, that's, that's not the same. I don't think that's the same thing as a Reptoid. I think they're two different things. Because remember, our leaders are. Remember that really old story that I told you at the very, very beginning of this of the show. That was about the shape shifting, you know, rulers. But they're not. They weren't really like I guess you say rulers. You know, then as we refer to them now. They've you know, but anyway, the point is that don't get the two confused, Reptoids and Reptilians, okay? Because remember, our rulers are still human. They got human genetics. They are us. We are them. Don't get it confused. You know that they are, you know, they are human too. They may think that they're different, but they are not. They are us. They are part of. They live on this planet. They are born on this planet. That you know, and in most cases, they were essentially made here because they're a hybrid. They are us. There is no difference between us except for the ones that they created as an illusion. You know, I think that it's not them that confused us, but it is they who have confused themselves into believing that they are not us, and the word lies in belief, as I always say.
Right.
So, this being said, what's a Reptoid, you know? And I've already touched on, you know, macrobes, you know, not the different alien races and interdimensional races. Of, you know, they may refer to themselves as macrobes compared to us because of their superior technology and their superior spirituality and their superior, just about everything. But I don't view them as macrobes. The only thing I view as a macrobe are those little interdimensional artificial intelligent orbs. Not to be confused with, as I was saying much earlier in the show, the UFO.
I saw that report. They were talking about an orb, in the Indian Ocean, and you said those are way too different, two different deals.
Yes, those are probes, like technological probes, not an artificial intelligence that wants to terrify us and terrorize us.
Yeah.
Two completely different things. I probably should have clarified that earlier, but I got a lot on my mind, obviously. But
now too because. I mean, first, can we talk about something real quick and just get it out of the way? Friend of mine wanted me to ask and wanted to talk to you on the air and explain, if you can, or help us understand this Project Pegasus deal that everybody is talking about.
Project Pegasus. You'd asked me about that before. As I said, I didn't really have too much, you know, material on that.
Just a little bit that you know.
Okay. That's the, that's the, essentially the U.S. government and not just the U.S. government, but also your so-called reptilian rulers, time-splitting program, okay? They started their own time-splitting program. You know, they do talk about it, and they have over the years, made comments and statements on it, that they do this, and if the American public ever found out what we've done, blah, 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 you know, they drag us through the streets and lynch us. That's not really actually the case. If you told them, they'd probably just want to know more. But you've already told them, and they didn't really catch on. So... anyway, they're going to find out anyway, and not from me. You guys are going to screw up, and you're going to be found out. Let's put it that way.
Didn't you say it had something to do with a way of manipulating the presidential race and also? Or did I hear you?
Yeah, that's exactly. I think I forgot exactly who it was that said it, but they told you this. You know, it's out there. It's on the internet. It's in quotations. It's on YouTube, like a lot. Just people don't realize that when these people talk, they're not talking in double speak. They're talking in triple, quadruple, quintuple, dodeca speak, you know. They're covering every group that they deal with, all right? Not just the idiotic masses that look at Democrat, Republican, Independent, you know. They're looking at everyone. So when they talk publicly or do a speech publicly, they're talking about a lot of different things at the same time, and they're forming their speeches so that it addresses everybody within the context of what they're talking about, all right, to that particular group, all right? And it just so happens that it almost always lines up with every one of them. These guys aren't slick 50 talkers. They're slick 75 and better than you. Yeah, and don't get that wrong. They're like, I guess you'd say, referencing the new Star Trek movie, Into Darkness. They are the, Khan to your Captain Kirk. They are better at what? Everything. And, don't you forget it. However, we outnumber, them and their little clique. Probably 500 million to one. So, you have a million different people, 500 million different people coming up with 500 million different ideas. When you throw them all together, like on the internet, you get something that is superior, that can outthink and can outsmart, this type of, I guess you'd say, diseased thinking or evil thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway, the Project Pegasus was instead of making submariners, the Navy has submariners, or astronauts, who go into space on a space shuttle, which is, both military organizations, they also have created chrononauts, which, travel through the different dimensions and rearrange everything. There's matter rearrangers. And they can't necessarily do it all themselves. They have to find certain, adept people that meet very, very stringent guidelines so that they can actually do this. And they have a lot of limitations with the technology that they've been using because, it wasn't originally derived from some alien or interdimensional technology. They literally, just kind of thought it up and spent, ungodly amounts of money into developing the technologies and threw it all together using the same platform as the Manhattan Project because they did the Manhattan Project, except the macros were in charge of the Manhattan Project. Not your military, not your government. The macros laid the foundation. The macros provided the breakdown of all of this. All right, this artificial intelligence was responsible, not your government. All right, they are responsible for all the nuclear testing and detonation. They're the ones who told them where to set the nukes off because they don't just work anywhere at any time. There has to be a lot of very big specifics, like the music of the spheres and all that crap. But nevertheless, you know, they've been around and watched it all go down many times before. So having you duplicate it, not an issue. So,
yeah.
And, you know, they just, you know, they were that's how they were able to masterfully conceal the Manhattan Project. And they do the same thing for all the others, except in this particular case, the Chrononaut, okay, that was their, you know, they just copied what they knew about the Manhattan Project and made Chrononaut instead. And they used it for their own selfish interest. To a degree, you know, as best I can gather, you know, if you just look at the, you know, the turning points in history, you know, it probably appeased the macros, meaning they got their tithe for what they did, you know, but, you know, it wasn't original, it wasn't original, they still copied and pasted, the most important part of the whole Chrononaut concept.
Yeah.
Which was they took a superior idea when they did not have it, you know, the knowledge beforehand, to implement it and get away with it. I mean, look at it like that, or look at it however you can, you know, do your own research into what I'm talking
right.
about and
right.
realize this is a you know, you have to make your own, this is an opinion. Now, it's not like I know everything about it, because I don't. Like, I don't know very much about it. This is just me speculating on the who, what, when, where, and why. However, like I said, they copied the Manhattan Project, you know, secrecy layout, so that no one knew really what anyone was doing except the people, you know, pulling the trigger or traveling through time. Like, and
but
the only reason that,
go ahead.
Yeah, the only reason that those guys, like the Saggio or something like that, is still alive, is they did such a damn good job that, you know, hey, we'll let you do whatever you want because we're pretty much done doing what we're, you know, what we started. We're now in charge again and again and again and again and again and again. And so they can go around saying all this. They just sound like a Mad Hatter, you know, and it's left at that. You know, everything
I'll
that they put out is...
Yeah. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I can't wait to get the... I was supposed to have new equipment tonight. Sorry, everyone. My mic did not come on, so we were back to the phone. But, man, that's what to take in. I tell you what, though, after listening to Dr. Steve speak to Marion, man, he is, well, I'll tell you one thing we're going to do. We're talking about Tom and Ison, all that. I mean, next week he wants me to ask him about his personal experiences with the visitors, as he said, correct?
Uh-huh.
You'll have to prepare me with some questions for that, but I'm sure I have a few of my own. But he's saying, you know, we're talking about maybe Nibiru and the Nibiru, however you want to say it, Planet X. We're not talking about 3 months from now or a year from now. We're talking November. I mean, what kind of plans? Okay, he said again tonight, he doesn't think there's anything on it. He's more concerned with what's surrounding it. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
So
what
kind of plans and preparations do we need to be making, maybe? I'm going to get up in the morning and look for it. He said there's a dot underneath the sun right now. He said, that's a planet. I'm going to check it out tomorrow if I've got good visibility.
Okay, I can give you some advice if you want to do that. And, you know, I do not recommend looking directly into the sun. That is a poor decision. Do it.
Yeah.
However, if you know somebody who's a welder and has a welding mask with just you know, start with the highest setting and work your way down with the auto dimming time, all right? Because otherwise you will hurt your eyes for sure.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what I meant. But, yeah,
I need to buy one of those. They're only about $50, aren't they?
It depends. Auto dimmings are a little bit more expensive, but anyway, I've actually done this before. I've actually looked at the sun through my own welding.
Have you been looking for the dwarf planet yet? Have you looked yet?
No. This was a while ago that I was looking at it.
Are you going to tomorrow?
Maybe.
I am.
Try to find a welder friend so that they can advise you on this, because I'm pretty damn sure that almost everyone who's a decent welder has done it at
Did
some point,
me?
Looked at
yeah.
through their
yeah.
face shield.
Yeah,
so I recommend
know. Yeah.
You know, before you go off and do it because you're excited, because that
yeah,
that
I'm
tends excited. To, yeah, well, then I recommend holding off. And
I don't
want to
be blind for something spectacular that's around the corner. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Basically, he's saying Nibiru is coming to the party. We need to get dressed for it. How would you prepare for a Nibiru party?
Well, I think, like I said, you know, it's not so much about the actual dead planet, as he has described it. I think that it's about,
I mean, in general. I'm talking about in general, the whole damn thing.
Okay. Well, this is something we could probably ask him about. What I think is coming with those planets, those moons
yeah.
that are around it, is something called
yeah.
the Oort cloud. Oortcloud. Oort cloud. Okay?
That'll
And, you know, I mean, you could also look at the asteroid belt as an Oort cloud. Okay? Well, if these things come through... If these things come through, okay,
we're gonna
they run through the debris field of the asteroid belt. Okay, think about this for a second. If
Uh-oh.
These planets run through or near the asteroid belt, it's gonna stir up the asteroid belt. When it stirs up the asteroid belt, okay, and the fact that these things are coming generally towards us. We're potentially going to face asteroids from the asteroid belt. B, remember that planet was probably made out of water, pretty much, you know, or even if it wasn't pretty much made out of water, the reason we have such big-ass oceans now and glacier melt, you know, ponds and lakes everywhere,
yeah.
because that water came in on this comet. All
right,
so we're looking at a sea level rise.
Right,
one.
I heard somebody talk about this the other night. Right. If our sea level's up because of melting and theirs is warmer, that's a shitload of water headed this way.
Yeah, we're looking. Not only that, we're looking at tsunamis or tidal waves or whatever you want to call them. Essentially, what would appear as though it's rogue waves. So therefore, the navies of the world are going to have something to deal with. If they aren't in the harbor, if they are in the harbor, they're looking at getting blown ashore.
Have they got groups on this right now? Have they got groups right now planning on this? They do, don't they?
Oh, I bet you these guys know that. I mean, the Navy is a very interesting organization. It's not like you're even in other countries. Navies are always very different. They're not like an army. They're not like an air force. You know, they look at constantly changing variables every moment of every day. You know,
right.
And
the
so
they could be the last people standing. Then I mean, they're boats. Yeah, if it's all water going to hit us, damn, they're the guys.
Yeah, and there's a lot of naval bases inland. If you think about that, it lets you get an idea that the Navy is not stupid, you know. If they could potentially be wiped out on the sea, then they're going to want to go back into the water, you know. And that's something to keep in mind. You know, in almost every military in the world has naval bases.
Let's face it, if you're on an aircraft carrier and you got a rogue wave and it's a freaking master tsunami, it ain't going to matter. It ain't gonna go through. It ain't gonna survive it.
carriers or super carriers, possibly, you know, because they have ways to stabilize those larger boats, very easily, you know. But then again, like I said, you know, you're going to have asteroids coming down, raising the sea level. You're going to have, and at the same time creating rogue waves, or what would appear as though they are rogue waves. But they're not necessarily, you know, they're caused by something, and you're obviously going to, everyone else is going to know what caused it. You know, there's not going to be any get around. But anyway, Oort cloud, the disaster no one heard about. Let's put it that way.
Let's not try to friendly that damn thing up, Eddie. It is what it is.
There is no way to friendly that thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's but then again, you know, once it riles people up to focusing on, you know, what's up there, it's going to take our technology in a different direction. I'll tell you that much for sure.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Everybody got all worked up, like you said the other night, about the Mayan calendar. And, you know, like he said, it was off a few years, whatever. Hey, why come sometimes we're late 5 minutes or early 5 minutes? This is what the Mayans are freaking talking about, is what is fixing to come through here. Who cares exactly what date? Sorry they missed the exact date, but they're real freaking close. And everybody's moved on. That's been gone by and nothing happened. I don't think people are really thinking about this freaking thing. They're not thinking about, you know, I mean, I'm going to start looking at spaceweather.com more closely. You know, I mean, those things get on the radar real quick. You know, they still do show up. We do still have satellites out there. There's not going to be a whole lot of advance warning if we get some of the orb belt and asteroid belt coming through here.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily just spaceweather.com. You know, there's
there's many more.
Yeah, there are, and the ones that are more common, you know, like spaceweather.com, as this time approaches, you know, in order to not create and incite panic and shut down those websites,
you're probably
going to find one of two things. Either, you know, they let them crash because too many people logged on, and then maybe people catch on consciously. That's what's going on, potentially. But then they also could, you know, if you have that many people logging on to a website like that,
it'll crash
the site. It'll burn out their servers flat out, you know, especially if there's a spike, you know, and that's likely what you're going to get is a spike. But,
yeah.
You know, there are other websites that are prepared to handle this, or they're supposed to be anyway, and I don't know if they actually are anymore, but you have such as the NOAA, which is actually a military organization that is comprised of completely officers, no enlisted personnel, which I think is unconstitutional and fascist. However, they do a great service to the rest of, you know, the U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
So, the NOAA, they create lots of different, I guess you'd say, products with all their DARPA contractors and civilian contractors and basically donations from various different observatories and that, which come from, you know, take your pick, mainly the Vatican. Everyone's always bashing the Vatican. However, I think the Vatican is at, you know, on one end of the spectrum, completely fucking bullshit. On the other end of the spectrum, they have created, you know, they've done a lot for science. They fund a lot of the science that you now use today, and they don't get credit for it. And then back to the bashing of a lot of the science.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the testing and instruments and stuff, you know, it doesn't get acknowledged. So they do not get the acknowledgement. However, back to backing the Vatican, you know, and saying fuck them. Well, here's what they're doing wrong. Okay, they're creating these things called Large Hadron Collanders. Okay, and what they can do with some of these machines, and I want people to really think about this. not that you're going to ever find any information about it. You just kind of have to have background information to understand it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
They can run a certain molecule through the particle accelerator, okay? And when they run molecules through there, it excites all the molecules in and around the area of effect of the particle accelerator, okay?
Yeah.
Such as, say, a complex molecule such as methane. And, you know, y'all got methane pockets all over the place, which creates problems, and it's flammable or explosive. So if they run methane through one of those things, they could excite the methane molecules and heat them up to the point of explosion when they are deep beneath the Earth's surface, which is a stupid idea. And,
that's why, you know, hey, Bullshit, do you know that the island that was created from the 7.7 earthquake outside of Pakistan the other day?
Yep, I actually did see the, you know, the thing on the internet.
Did you see what's shooting out the top of that?
No, what's shooting out of it?
What you're telling me about.
Methane?
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, you know, but then again, they could also do some good with that. And, you know, at the same time, you know, so back to praising the Vatican, you know, it's, you know, like I said, when you're dealing with these assholes, it's like a bipolar relationship, you know, they fuck shit up and then they fix shit on a massive scale. And, you know, it does require quite a bit of precision. Once again, praising the Vatican, you know, and, it's, like I said, they don't get acknowledgement for the good that they do. But they also, people don't notice the stupid shit that they do. And they leave themselves open for, you know, this kind of rhetorical attack. You know, like I said, when I think about these guys, I'm kind of beside myself on what to think about. So I'm offering you the positive and the negative. You know, not that I'm a fucking news agency. Because, you know, news from Blue Shift is not exactly the news you want to hear. But then again, do you really want to hear?
I don't mind it.
You know,
Hey, talk about news. I mean, is the government going to fucking come out and say, by the way, the planet is going to be around here? Well, first of all, how far is Nibiru behind the comet? Is it something we're going to see a week, a month, a year from then? Or is it going to be, that's the comet. Hello, that was the first guess. Now I'm here, and they're here 2 or 3 days from then. Or is it immediate? They travel real near each other, or are they real far away? Or if the government was going to say something, the comet, but there's a planet, and they're going to, I mean, it's 6 months, or is it, like, on the tail end of this thing, or is it right around the corner, or do you know?
I don't know, but I'll tell you, as soon as Comet Icelon shows up, you know, I'm going to be running around saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, and you didn't listen, and now you're going to eat shit, or something like that. I don't know.
Well, doesn't everybody know Comet Icelon's going to be here? They don't know that yet?
No, most people don't pay any attention to that kind of stuff. But, hey, you know, if you heard it from us.
It's supposed to be 10 times brighter than the moon.
Oh, it's going to get people's attention for sure. That's the question.
How far away is Planet X from the comet? Is it a month away or a year away? Or is it, you think you like that? Now, I mean, do they like within a few days or we don't know, do we? They don't know. Somebody knows.
I don't know. I could speculate, but I'm not going to say anything. Let's put it this way. Let's speculate for a minute. Let's say, how about, you know, let's talk about government's a very reactive organization. You know, they're set up to react to things or respond to it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got FEMA, which is kind of a reactive organization, however, they hold the line on response and a shitty response time. But then there's National Guard, which is a responsive organization. The military, the act duty military, they are a reactive. Okay. Don't get it. Most people think it's backwards. You know. Sorry. It's no. I've been in the National Guard and I've been on active duty and I studied emergency management to a degree. And I'm telling you that it's you got it backwards. The average idiotic masses have it backwards. Unfortunately, you are average and idiotic, and you do have it backwards.
Yeah.
That being said, the government, back to the government being reactive and responsive. When the government is threatened, like wholesale, that's when they actually make plans ahead of time. And when they make plans ahead of time, they do training. Trainings to pay attention to for, like, I guess you'd say an orc cloud of, a whole hodgepodge of, potential incidents where you can't tell where all the meteors are going to land, you don't have enough observatories,
mm-hmm.
but the Vatican
mm-hmm.
helps you out by giving you a shitload of potential, Well, anyway, you can't see what's coming directly at you from outer space because outer space is black and the object isn't shiny. So, therefore, you won't know if it's coming directly at you. Sorry. It's just the way things are. So getting all paranoid and terrified about it ain't going to help you. It's probably going to hurt
right.
you because your thoughts become your reality.
Right.
Second, what's going to happen if all does go down is, you're going to have the power grid go down. So the government response, that's preemptive or something that comes beforehand in a training would be the upcoming GridX2 companies grid down scenario where it's supposed to be nationwide that everyone basically simulates all the power going out, a.k.a. an electromagnetic pulse or all of the relay stations getting fried or an asteroid.
That's probably what we're going to see first is what you're talking about, yeah.
Well, if you think about
right.
it, those are like, EMP is like worst-case scenario to the average person who doesn't listen to this show or doesn't follow conspiracy theories. Or isn't a doomsday
yeah.
prepper, isn't a survivor,
yeah.
or lives in a major city. You live in a major city, and you cannot
yeah.
walk to the edge of that city with a single bottle of water, then, I feel bad for you. I really do. From the bottom of my heart, It's just something that is, it's unfortunately it's inevitable, and very soon you will be dealing with life circumstances. It may not happen exactly the way you know we're talking about or praying, but something is going to happen. And those who have been called called crazy and ridiculed for preparing or being a survivalist or thinking that the zombie apocalypse is not going to happen because it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, you're
yeah.
mistaken. There are you don't know if you are a person who believes in this type of ridicule or
yeah.
acts upon it, especially, you're going to eat shit.
Yeah.
And not only are
yeah.
you going to eat shit. You're going to be groveling to the person who is prepared. And because
yeah.
of the way that you have attacked these people and put them down, they
yeah.
are either A, not going to be responsive and respectful in helping you, or B,
yeah. okay. Well, we've got less than 60 seconds left on the show. All right, with all that being said, what's the plans for Friday night? We're going to do more preparation and talks about Planet X or Common Ison or what else you got on the mind for Friday night we can prepare listeners for? Oh, I know what I need to mention. I need to mention that we may have that guest Friday night, the producer of
the Alien show and Bigfoot show, they've agreed to do the show. What else did you have coming up that you might want to talk about preparation for Friday night? We've got 10 seconds left.
The Oort Cloud. What are you going to be dealing with when an Oort Cloud comes in?
Perfect.
You know, let's take calls. See what you guys think.
Sounds good. Guys, we got to sign off for now. We are Center of the Universe. Saying goodnight for my co-host, Blue Chef. Peace out. Be safe. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. Good night, everyone.